To Bind Us Too Close by Sinala. Read by CookieMom6067. I'll be fine, Shellhead, Steve said, in an even perfectly unworried tone, which was unfortunately the same voice he used for sentences like, it's okay if the deli is out of sesame bagels, as well as, I've fallen off this cliff and broken my leg in three places. It was nice that he wasn't worried, but it did make it hard to tell if he was actually fine. The fact that Steve had said, I'll be fine, and not, I'm fine, was pretty discouraging. Tony was worried enough for both of them. It had been about 10 minutes since Steve had breathed in the damn pollen, which was how long it had taken them to hike back to the Quinjet wreckage. They'd gone to look for water after setting the Quinjet beacon, and then they'd found the field of flowers. AIM had a botany lab about 15 miles from, well, from wherever they'd been when the ground-to-air missile had hit. Tony wasn't exactly sure where they were now. The Model 4 was his favorite suit, a classic, so he'd worn it. But at least last year's model with the nose that everyone but him hated would have had internal maps. Steve hadn't said anything about it because he was a nice guy, but Tony had been vain enough that he'd wanted Steve to like him anyway. This was what his vanity had gotten him. Lost. Also, he was nearly out of power, which was why he was walking. Ugh. He did have mouth and eye seals on the suit, though, which was what had saved him from getting a face full of pollen. That was the only plus. Steve had managed to wipe and rinse the pollen off his uniform on the way back, so at least it wasn't still hitting him, whatever it was. But he'd definitely gotten a few full breaths of it. They were in the clearing where they'd crashed now, and Steve promptly sat down with his back against the fuselage, hard enough that it seemed like he'd mostly just fallen over. Not good. Are you sure you're fine? Tony asked. Steve looked up at him and nodded. Absolutely, he said. He sounded out of breath. Also not good. Whatever it is, the serum will clear it. Okay, that sentence hadn't been, the serum's already cleared it. That was really, really bad. God damn it. Slowly, Tony levered himself down to sit next to Steve. His armor slid across the grass and his back clanked into the Quinjet behind him. If something's wrong with you, I'd really like to know, Tony said carefully, as your teammate and as your friend. He was aware that he was a massive hypocrite. Steve didn't know that his teammate Iron Man was also his landlord, Tony Stark, and he wasn't ever going to know because then Steve would probably want him out of the field for medical reasons, his heart forever broken. And also, Steve was kind of weird around him sometimes, to the point where Tony thought he would probably want him off the team anyway. Tony knew it was pretty dumb that he'd known Steve for 5 years and still wasn't sure if Steve actually liked him. Him as Tony, as a person. But he'd seen Steve be exquisitely polite to people he knew for a fact Steve hated. Okay, not Guy Rich. Or actual Nazis. But he was polite to other people. Maybe he was just polite to Tony. He did like Iron Man, though, so really, it was for the best if Tony just kept being Iron Man. I can't, Steve began. Not a good start. It's not the kind of thing you want to hear about Iron Man, trust me. His face was flushed, and Tony wasn't sure whether that was an effect of the pollen or just embarrassment. Tony wasn't about to let Captain America literally die of embarrassment. Whatever it was, Tony wasn't going to make fun of him. Bodies were bodies, and sure, sometimes things happen that were impolite in everyday life, but this was first aid, and Tony could damn well be professional about it. Steve, Tony tried again, a little more gently. If you're in pain, I definitely want to know about it. Whatever it is, it's okay. I promise I'm not going to hold it against you, all right? He laid one gauntleted hand on Steve's gloved arm. When Tony touched him, Steve gasped, and a shudder ran through his whole body. Oh, God. Steve gritted his teeth. He sounded like he was trying not to groan. I'm not, in pain. Yeah, right. Then what? Tony asked. Steve, of course, said nothing. I want to help you. Steve shook his head wildly. No, you don't. The sound he made was a strangled laugh. You really, really don't. Steve was turning away from him, curling in on himself. This was bad. Maybe let me decide that, huh? Tony asked. Steve, please. Please, just tell me. It was the please that did it, he thought. Steve raised his head and eyed Tony miserably. He sighed. His breath was ragged. I'm experiencing physical arousal. Desire. A lot of it. I'm so sorry. Oh. Oh, fuck. AIM had made sex pollen. God damn it, they'd actually made something that worked, and it was sex pollen. Tony blinked and reevaluated Steve's symptoms. Steve was panting, sounding like he was trying not to, well, moan, Tony supposed. He was turned away, trying to hide, Tony now saw, what looked like an extremely impressive erection. God, he was big. Tony's cock valiantly tried to imitate him, but the metal of the suit wasn't really very forgiving. That didn't stop his body from trying. Tony's mouth was dry. He was a terrible teammate and a worse friend. Steve clearly didn't want any of this to be happening to him. And Tony was here perving over him, because even after all this time, Tony had never actually managed to stop himself from being hopelessly in love with Steve. Tony realized he should probably say something comforting and not just stare at Steve's dick. At least, with the helmet on, Steve probably couldn't tell he was staring. Hey, it's going to be okay. Tony settled his hand on Steve's shoulder, which seemed safer. Steve shivered again when he touched him, and Tony needed to not think about how Steve was probably getting harder because he had touched him. Steve had been drugged against his will. This wasn't personal. Steve shook his head again, even more wildly. It's not. Sure it is, Tony said. Look, you're not dying. You're not seriously wounded. In my book, those are pretty big wins. It's just got to work its way through your system, and you're going to be okay. Serum's probably going to clear it any minute now. Steve was looking a little glassy-eyed. Tony squeezed his shoulder, and Steve sighed softly, and Tony tried not to think about that, either. It's just the way you're feeling right now. It's not bad. There's no moral judgment here, I promise. Maybe the way it happened is unusual, but it's a normal thing to feel, a natural thing. It's okay. It's just the thing that's happening, that's all. We've been through worse than this, and we're fine. And this is going to be fine, too. Steve gritted his teeth. I can't. I have to. Steve rasped. Oh, God, I'm so sorry, Shellhead. I need to touch it. The pure lust that ran through Tony was like accidentally brushing a live 220-volt current. Inside the armor, Tony shuddered, and he kept his mouth shut, just barely clamping down on the moan that wanted to escape. He was going to hell. He didn't believe in hell, but he was going there anyway. Someone was going to invent a hell just for him. Maybe this was it. It's okay, Tony managed to say. You just do what you need. It's all right. Steve smoothed his hand over his pants, pressing down on his cock, and he groaned long and low, a sound that was half relief and half agony. I'm sorry. Steve's eyes were squeezed shut, his face twisted in something that might equally have been pleasure or pain. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, he chanted. I'm sorry, I have to. Then he was ripping off his gloves, dropping them on the grass next to him, fumbling at his pants with shaking hands. Before Tony could really process what was happening, Steve grunted in frustration, and there was the sound of fabric ripping, and then his torn pants were hanging open, and his cock was in his hand. Tony had never actually seen Steve naked before. He suspected most of the rest of the team had, but since Tony had to get in and out of the armor without anyone around, it meant he wasn't hanging around the locker rooms after training or battles. So this was a new experience. Fuck, but Steve was huge. His cock, thick and uncut, fit perfectly in his hand. Tony wanted to get his mouth on him. He wished he could offer because it was clear that Steve wasn't being particularly kind to himself. Steve was grimacing and he was pumping his cock with rough strokes that suggested he just wanted to be done with this already. While Tony couldn't blame him for that, he did wish Steve were having a nicer time. Tony could feel the muscles of Steve's bicep flex under his palm, even through layers of metal and fabric. Tony knew how strong Steve was. He couldn't imagine that kind of grip actually felt good, if there was such a thing as too tight, and that seemed like that would be it. Abruptly, he realized that he still had his hand on Steve's shoulder, which was probably a weird and unwelcome thing to do while Steve was frantically trying to rub one out as fast as possible. So he dropped his hand. Steve opened his eyes and stared at him. "Why?" he croaked. Tony was sweating. "Why, what? Why'd you stop touching me?" Steve rasped. "It's better with you there." "Oh, God." "Steve," Tony said, as carefully as he possibly could, "please tell me if I'm misunderstanding any part of this, but it sounds like maybe you'd like a helping hand." He felt like he was in a porno. The weirdest porno ever. Steve gritted his teeth. "When I said I felt desire, I didn't just mean that I was hard." It looked like it was killing him to say, but that he was so desperate he was going to say it anyway. "I'm feeling specific desire for you." He tried to smile. "I felt like this anyway. That part's not the pollen. The strength of it right now sure is, though." "I'm flattered," Tony said, "because it was probably better than saying I'm madly in love with you. And honored, I've got feelings for you, too. And I'm happy to help. Do you want me to touch you? I can take the gauntlet off. Don't worry." "You can?" Steve asked. I kind of assumed you couldn't, because you never did." "Baby, it all comes off," Tony said, with a wink that he wasn't sure Steve could see. He'd meant the line as a joke, a parody of seduction, but Steve shuddered, his mouth fallen open, his lips bitten red. "Would you?" Steve asked, his voice somehow achingly wistful and full of need at the same time. "Would you, for me?" Then his face fell. "I'm an idiot. I'm sorry. Your secret identity, I forgot." Tony thought about blindfolds. He thought about asking Steve to shut his eyes. And then he realized Steve deserved better. "I want you to know," Tony said. "If we're doing this, you should know who I am. So you can decide if you still want this. That's fair." Steve nodded again and again. "Please, Shellhead," he pleaded. "Anything you have to do, it's fine. Just do it. And then please touch me, please." Here went nothing. Tony undid the helmet latches and pulled it off, blinking in the sunlight. Hi. That somehow cut through the lustful haze of Steve's one-track mind. "Tony?" Steve asked, incredulous. He sounded surprised, but maybe in a good way. He was smiling. Why was he smiling? "You're Iron Man?" Tony swallowed hard. "The one and only. I'm sorry if I'm not who you wanted." Steve's brow furrowed. "Why in the world would you think that?" He laughed, a breathy gasp. "Did you miss the part where I've had a crush on you for years?" "What? Oh, I guess you did." Steve laughed, awkward. "Well, Surprise! I'd understand if you didn't want. Tony grabbed him by the shoulders and kissed him, hard. After a few seconds, Steve kissed him back. He was so desperate he was practically sobbing into Tony's mouth. Please, Steve begged. Please, Tony, I need you. I need you so much, need to touch you. Tony was scrabbling uselessly at the armor catches. Steve groaned, and then his fingers dug into the seams of the chest plate, and something creaked, and okay, yeah, that was one way to solve a problem. He was never getting that armor back. That was fine. 30 seconds later, Tony was naked, surrounded by twisted pieces of armor, and he was on top of Steve in the grass. He had Steve's cowl pulled back, kissing him as he went, and one hand up under Steve's male shirt because Steve seemed to like the skin contact. Please, yes, more, Steve demanded. Tony pinched one of Steve's nipples and then unceremoniously stuck his hand down Steve's pants. Steve whimpered and arched up, and yeah, this wasn't going to take that long. Tony tipped his head against Steve's shoulder and kept going. That's so good, Steve breathed. Just like that, nice and tight right there. Tighter, tighter. Oh, Tony. Steve came and came and came. Tony wasn't sure Steve was usually like this or it was just the pollen, but Tony was sure it was at least 3 times. Wow. When he made to lift his hand away, Steve said, please, just 1 or 2 more, please. I've got more in me. I want you to make me come until I'm dry. A request that was so hot that it was definitely ending up in Tony's spank bank forever. Between orgasms 4 and 5, Steve reached for him, hands wet with his own cum, and Tony was so turned on that it hardly took any time at all before he was coming all over Steve. Caught up in it, tossed on waves of pleasure. Then Steve jerked in his hands and came again, trickling over Tony's fingers. He looked pretty done. Just 1 more, Steve begged, his voice raw. Just 1, Tony, please let me try. I can do it for you. Tony's spent cock twitched. Steve sure had a way with words. Tony freed his other hand and reached down, pressing the spot just behind Steve's balls, a nice massage from the outside. Steve grunted and groaned, sounding surprised, and then came, shuddering and dry. Steve's eyes were shut. Steve's chest rose and fell as he lay there in silence. And when he opened his eyes, there was almost none of the drugged wildness in them. Steve said. It was definitely the voice of a man who realized that, under the influence of sex pollen, he had actually propositioned his teammate and/or landlord successfully. Please don't freak out, Tony blurted out. I love you. Fuck. Upon reflection, that was probably going to make Steve freak out a whole lot more. But Steve just smiled dreamily and said, same to you. Okay, well, that was the best possible outcome. Then he fell asleep. Tony supposed he really needed that. I wonder if I should tell Aim thank you, Tony mused. Steve opened one eye. Ask if they got any more of this stuff. He grinned. You're high, Tony said fondly, even though Steve mostly wasn't. You're so high, and I'm not listening to anything you're saying. You should listen to the part where I love you, Steve said firmly. And he reached out and took Tony's hand. Because I love you. Okay, yeah, Tony conceded. Listening to that. The end.